Man, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I don't even have to preach after that. Thank y'all. That was a trap. No amens, Aaron. Wait, somebody's got announcements. Birthdays, where's she at? I would say stand up. It's not funny this time. There we go. High five. Just kidding.
Right, I love fun. Long overdue birthdays.
January? Difficulties. Perfect. All right. Amen. If you got here this morning and you're excited to see Justin, good enough. Hey, listen. No, we don't have to clap. I don't need my ego that much. I mean, I do. You can do it again. That's fine. I got the opportunity to preach the chapel service Monday morning at Elk Valley for their 7th through 12th grade, and you should have seen all those mortified kids because they don't know me well enough, and they didn't have a choice to be there. But y'all had a choice because he told you a week ago that it was me, and y'all still showed up, so I'm thankful for that. We won't tell Luke that there's 211 people in here because he can't see everybody behind the camera. He's probably not watching. He's at the beach and not worried about me. But hey, let's get this out of the way. Thank you, Luke, for giving me Family Sunday again. I know. So I looked at the calendar. Even I argued with Brantley this morning. I said, no, bro, that's not this weekend. Next weekend, next Sunday is the 30th. And in my head, it was fine because my message is not for children today. And now I'm freaking out. And he came back to me about 6 minutes later and said, sir, you're wrong. Next Saturday is the 30th. And I was like, and I had to look at my calendar, and he's right. So I have Family Sunday again. And I don't know if Luke continues to plan them this way, or that's just how the rotation rolls, or that's more my speed. I don't know, but life is good. So we are not going to dismiss any kids. Some of y'all moms are like, amen, not to that. So they're in here. We're going to roll with it. I've had a month. I don't know which side to stand on. Don't freak out. It's okay. I've had a month to work on this because we sat down with Luke's calendar because sometimes I'm not any more organized than he is. I'm not saying he's not organized, but we all know Luke well enough that neither one of us are organized. So as the two guys on staff, it's really a dangerous thing. But we sat down a month ago and he's like, hey, I need you here and there. And I was like, okay, I can do that. It's not that bad. We're leaving already? You can have that. I have feelings too, okay? And I said that's great, you know. And listen, I want to tell you, my favorite thing when it's my turn to preach, especially when it gives me a long time, I get to do what I want to do. And then the Lord tells me that, no, that's not how it's going to be. Because I've been preparing for a month, a solid month. Any of you dudes that are in here, and if you're not in the men's ministry, at least in the thing that we got going on in GroupMe, it's a little bit stale right this second because we need to invigorate that a little bit. But, you know, we spent well over a month in Elijah. And it was epic. It was good times. And so I said, you know what? Yeah, Luke, I'll preach on the 18th or 20th, whatever today is. I'll do that because I've been preparing for a month to talk Elijah, Ahab, Jezebel, and all of the fire that rains down, the manliness in that, like the whole thing. Like when Elijah rolls out of the woods and he looks like the Auber brothers, right? He's just burly, straight out of Campbell's Creek or something, like not like the locust and honey type, but like the potted meat and, you know, spam kind. Like he's on it. You know, he gets meat from the birds. It's weird, but guess what? the Lord doesn't let me do that. Like, I was going to surprise the guys, and I was going to bring some chairs up and see who was willing to just go out on a limb for a minute and sit with me through that and talk about what we're learning. And I was ready. Like, I was prepared. Aaron, those eyes are really big. I wasn't going to call you first. I know last time you said, don't make me look stupid in front of my wife. And I get that. It's the kids in the youth group say my M is growing really tall like the golden arches these days, but it happens. I'm 43. It's life. It beats the alternative. But here's the problem. So I've been working on this, and I'm liking it, and I like it, and I feel good about it. And the Lord says that, no, right? So he and I argue all week long. And I thought last Saturday, I'm like, it's fine. Like, I got some thoughts in my head. And, you know, I'm a procrastinator. I went to bed at 2 this morning, and I finished my sermon at about 1:30 today. We'll know together when it's done. And he changed. Like, I love him for it, but it really weirds me out that I can't. Last night, everything finally died down. I went downstairs and I said, Lord, I understand, you know, these paths, but you've really impressed upon me two different sides of things to talk about, and I don't think those two streets go together. I don't think that they intersect anywhere, and I surely don't think I can land a plane on that runway. And then he just started speaking, and you guys know me well enough to know that I don't really use notes very often, but he started going through some scripture to help me understand, and this was the closest thing next to my chair, because I'm lazy, and I have a desk, but it's covered in stuff, so I sit in a glider ottoman rocker. What's that thing called, babe? Anyway, when she was pregnant, we got one for like $40, and I still like it. That's where I play my guitar, and that's where I write notes. And this was the closest thing I had to paper. But I said, Lord, I'm willing, but I don't know how to get there. So here's the problem. All of my life, I enjoy different types of preaching, different types of things. Last week on a Wednesday, we took our Southern Baptist teenagers to an independent fundamental Baptist church for a revival for a guy that I love to hear preach, but it ain't like we preach here. It just is not like we preach here. And my kids didn't know what to think, and they did a really good job. They sat almost near the front, and I even asked the preacher, I said, hey, do me a solid tomorrow. And I said, will you jump up on that front row like you did on Monday night? And he said, I got you. And he did. He got up, and he walked 4 whole chairs. Like, that would freak anybody out, but our kids were like, why is the preacher on the chair? Like, I like it. So the problem is sometimes in my life, because I'm stubborn and I like to get my way, and, you know, when Luke talks about who's on your throne, like, a lot of times in the morning I get up and it's me because I'm great at it, and it takes me a little bit to get it. Like, I like being preached at, right? Luke is a great teacher. Sometimes I like being preached at. Sometimes I like my feelings hurt because I'm stubborn. That's... I left a pause there so there wasn't an amen. But I am stubborn, so sometimes I like to hear the word in my face to let me remind me that I'm a little left of center on this journey right now, and let's get back in line. I need that. I have a lot of voices in my head. I got a lot of things going on, not like clinically. I know that's funny. I get it. At least I've never been to the doctor and we've talked about it. But listen, there's a lot of stuff. But listen, the word of God is good. Amen? Whew, had to get that back. All right. So we went to this revival, and the problem is it was in the middle of me studying to preach, and it kind of got me all jacked up. So I'm going to need some help. You look like, yeah, look at you, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, look at all these kids on the front row. Come on. These are Dixie cups, not solo cups for all of you. See? Some of y'all need to change your radio station if you got that. That's fine. It's fine. All right, listen, give me a couple. Come on, children. Come on. Come on. Bryson, come on. All you got to do is stand right here. It's not even going to be awkward. Your mom and dad can do it too. You 4, come on. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Listen, we need it. It's good. It's great. It's great. It's cool. It's just... All right, all right. All right, y'all stand in the front line right here. That's good. 2 more. You can come on. That's fine. I have enough. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. Come on. You're in the youth group now. We got to do things that are a little bit strange. Do you want to? You'd have to stand up here on the top. Nothing? Nothing? Okay. All right. I got an illustration, I don't know where we're headed. Trevor begged me to not make him lift anything because Fire Academy is gutting him. I mean, look at his face. I mean, he's downtrodden and he's not fasting. You hold this. So the beginning of my message today, there's a 11th grader or a 12th grader at that school that was preaching, and I was listening, and during his prayer, he said, Lord, fill me up because I can't pour out of an empty cup. And I love it, right? I love it. I'm about it, you know, and I was like, that feeds my soul for a minute because, Lord, fill me up because I can't pour from an empty cup, right? And so I like that, but then I start to try to study on it to preach it, and now we are at an impasse. I need you to fill up these cups, please, sir. You look good. Here you go. You go ahead. You can fill up that side too. What happened? Well, you're supposed to ration it out. You can sip on that. It's good for you. It is living water. It's great. All right, you can have one more. You at least got to let all the kids up here get a little bit of something, right? Just a splash. It's fine. All right. Aaron Walker, I need your help. Yeah. You're out? You forgot to take some for yourself. You got to sustain with that. Look at you. See, I saved. There you go.
I love a smart water, right?
You can take a sip, but not until the end. I need you to just give a little. You got to just dole it out a little bit. You guys can take a sip out of your water. It's brand new. You cannot put it back. Just open it up. Just dab a little in everything. I did say fill it up. You're right. Listen, my directions are unclear because I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm trying to make this fully kid-friendly, and I don't know. Listen, it's all right. You can take a sip. That is a lot of water. You're going to have to take a big sip. You're going to have to go to your dad. I think he can handle that. All right, so here's where I started at in this whole conversation, right? So I'm a visual. You know this. We talk about this all the time. And I'm thinking about, you know, we ask, we pray all the time. Lord, we come to church on Sundays, and that's where we're going to get filled a little bit. We come to church on Wednesdays, maybe a little bit. We listen to a little bit of thing. We do our own study. We end up asking the Lord to put people in our path all week long that we pour out the Spirit to. Do you agree with that? I don't want to, I'm trying to make this to where we can keep all the kids in here and everybody can be on the same page, but I don't know. But we want to pour out the Holy Spirit. There, somewhere in the Bible does it say that? Somewhere. Mr. New Tech Guy. Everybody turn around and look at the New Tech Guy and say, you're doing a good job, sir. Give me John 7, just so it's there. All right, you guys can drink your water and sit down. Your vessel is empty, so you got nothing. Did you spit back into yours? Like, how did that?
He did.
Well, drink it. You got to sustain it from yourself. Yeah, drink it. Yeah, it's fine. Wait a minute. Is yours still like 3/4 full? That is a selfish pour right there. You know it's going to be 4 days before you're back in church again. You're like, I got to keep a little for me, right? I could probably preach that, but we're going to go. John 7:37 says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I got it over here if I got to look down the next. Just that one. Okay, we're going to go. Okay. Wow. All right. Was it 38? Did I do it wrong? Listen, I told you it was almost 2 o'clock in the morning when it was happening. Let's see, 37. Oh, wow, it was 38. I led you astray when I let you look off of my paper. 38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's weird, right? And I'm trying to materialize and study on and figure out how we pour out what we get to people in our paths, also while still sustaining ourselves. And that's where my study has been, and visually I like it, right? Visually I like it. Thank you. There we go. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow the rivers of living water. Well, we know what that living water is. The Bible also talks about out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That one gets some of us in trouble sometimes. Wow, there's not one wife in here that said amen. Mine didn't hear what I said because Tucker's trying to be bad back there. But if my wife would have heard that, I mean, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? That's the place that gets you dangerous, right? So I'm reading this and I said, oh, okay, I get it. You know, I get it. We're supposed to pour out. So as we are being filled, we are pouring back out. As we are having the Holy Spirit, we are pouring it back out. We are giving it to the community. We are just giving it to, people should know we are Christians by the way we live, right? So that comes that way, right? So that illustration is fine. It's good. But we come in and we say, fill me up. But if I think about it for a minute, if we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, like, we're already filled up. So why are we asking to be filled back up? Like, all of these things can't rationalize in my mind, right? So we ask, And I say, how do we get filled up? Like, if we have the indwellment of the Holy Spirit, which, well, I'll get there. I guess we just talk about it now. You think of the woman at the well. I'm already off of these notes. They're totally not in the order that I want. We talk about the woman at the well. Jesus tells her, this living water that I give of you will be in you. Hang on, I got it right here. I'm going to read it. Become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But we still come back and we ask the Lord to fill us up. Now, is that counterproductive? It weirds me out, right? So all week long, I've been trying to figure out how to dabble down this road as Christians if we have the indwellment of the Holy Spirit, but we're supposed to pour it out. And then I realized that we are just a vessel. A vessel can only hold so much. Wayne's vessel was little, and then he was out, right? Aaron saved a little bit just in case he's got to go on a journey, and he didn't want the kids to have all of his. But we ask the Lord every time we come in, and I was able to finally get the two things to go together. We should come in here for a fresh anointing every chance we get. There is lots of ways to that. But here's the thing. Matthew, give me Matthew 5. Let's hope I got it right this time. 6? No, it's just 6. I wrote that one right. It's okay. It's all right. Here we go. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be, the ESV says satisfied, the King James says filled. I was studying, I preached the chapel service at Elk Valley, and it's mandatory that I use my King James. So I was King James in it for a while, but the King James says filled. Right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. The problem is, and Luke talks about this all the time, so I'll steal a little bit from what he says. Tell me the last time you were actually thirsty. Tell me the last time you were actually hungry. Like, we have problems in this world, and I'm going to stray from the notes for a minute because I'm going to try to be quick because we've got kids in here and it's almost noon. We have an issue in this world right now why we are in the situation that we're in, because we are really more blessed than we deserve to be. I'm gonna go over here because I caught one. We are in the situations that we are in today in society because we are actually more blessed than we ought to be. Well, okay, we'll flesh that out. Tell me the lie. Raise your hand, stand up, be the first one to say that I went 5 days without food and I know what true hunger is like, or thirsty. Like we look through that. God gives us so much. I believe it was Phil Schaefer. He was standing in that back corner back there, and he was praying and anointed. Like, there's no doubt. And he said something to the fact of the reason that we don't yearn for the Lord is because we have too much already. It's a hurtful thing to say because we don't want to say out loud that we've already been given too much, but we have. Across the board, you look around. I've got shoes. I've got a roof over my head. We're sitting in air conditioning. It's noon. We're all going to make it to the Mexican restaurant by 1 o'clock. Like, life is not bad. There may be some ups and downs, you know, but we don't understand adversity. Like, how do we read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So how does he fill us, right? So we come back week in and week out, and we pour out, as we did in that illustration, which is fleeting my mind right now. We come back in and we ask to fill us, Lord. Give us some more so I can give it back out. The problem is it became counterproductive for me, because if you've been hanging out here long enough with me, you know that I preached a message that I love to think about that says that we can heap up trash on our own well. Right, so we know the woman at the well, Jesus said, this water I will give you will well up inside of you like a spring, right? But it's possible for us to heap trash on our well. So now I'm in a really big quandary yesterday when I'm praying through some things. And I said, Lord, if I come to you every week and I ask you to fill me, yet my own self and my life and what I have preached before says that I can put trash on my well, so I can't pour out my well to others for what I put on there. How are you going to fill up my well? Thankfully, when the voice is all clear and we're sitting down together at midnight, he makes me understand the visibility of, you don't fill a well from the top. We there in the picture? Listen, I promise, I told you there's a road over here and a road over here, and we're gonna get somewhere by the end of it, but he doesn't fill a well from the top. He's not going to deny me when I come begging to get filled up. He's going to have that well inside of me. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's the power at work inside of my life. It springs up. Now, if it gets out and gets to you, that's a different story. That's my problems to deal with. The problem is that it's very common that we get into trash on our well. Let's think about it. I love preaching parables and things that we've read since I preached Zacchaeus to these teenagers on Monday morning. I didn't even get in trouble. I dumbed it down. I called Zacchaeus a scuzz bucket. Right? That was as G as it comes. The problem was is the principal was in the back, kind of right at the back, and I was like, and I was going to call him a scum bag, but I think that's probably not as nice. So I was like, scuzz bucket. It hit me right then. I said, thank you, Lord. And I dropped scuzz bucket, and her head went. I was like, can I say scuzz bucket here? And they're like, well, you did. And I did. And I asked her later, I said, was that okay? And she's like, yeah, except for I was walking down the hall on Thursday, and I heard a kid say to another kid, shut up, scuzz bucket. I said, you're welcome. Can you imagine what they were thinking in their mind? I don't know that she agreed. But I love going back through things that we've heard forever. My point, we were here. So my point, I like to think of the prodigal son, right? We read through the story of the prodigal son, and I believe that there are things that we have heard since we were kids that we read faster when we are reading through the Bible a second time, a 15th time, or whatever. We get to stories that we know from beginning to end. We don't let them saturate anymore because we know them, unless you guys are totally different from me. But if I think I know what's happening next, I can't watch a movie a second time. It's like terrible for my wife. But if I think I know who's going to kill who, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm out. I don't care. But so here's the thing with the prodigal son. I love the story of the prodigal son, but I, as a believer in Christ and someone who's gone to church for a lot of years now, I believe that we are more like the brother than the dad or the son. And it's a hurtful place to be because the brother, he's a scuzz bucket. You like how I put that together there? That just came to me too. The brother, as the son comes back, the brother's like, hold up, wait a minute. I've been here forever. I've been doing the things. I've been in the way. Life is good. And why are you going out over him? Like, that's what we do. And I would say out loud, if I'm going to put this to my notes, which I'm not near today, if I was to put him into this story, he's got trash on his well. He's harboring issues with his brother, and his well is dirty. Amen. Us as a church, we love to see somebody that leaves the church, goes to the next church, and we go, they ain't saved. They ain't saved. Like, we love that. Like, that's just a thing, and it's weird. All right, I'm going to look. No, been there. All right, I'm going to roll. So, understanding that we have an internal well that has been given to us, that it's mandatory to pour out, because that's really the Great Commission. You follow me? So I am to go teach everybody what's inside of me, which is the Holy Spirit. I am to pour out the living water inside of me. That's what John said. Was it John? Yeah, that's what John said. That comes out of my heart. That overflow is the living water that has been given to me. So that's our job. That's what we do. We can't not. So if I've got issues on that well, I've got to deal with them, right? So looking through that, we end up at this revival. And the reason that I started with a thankfulness spirit this morning is, as a church, we're working on setting aside decent time for prayer at the altar, back there, whatever. You think we do a lot of music? Maybe so. Might be a thing. But this is where everybody begs to come get filled up corporately. You can look at your neighbor to the left or right. They've all had the same crappy week that you have. You can look at the guy behind you. He may be on a high this week, but it's not going to last. You know that all of life is hills and valleys, correct? So the problem is we get a little bit bitter sometimes. We end up throwing some trash in our well, and we have a hard time pouring it out. So we beg the Lord, come on, fill me up. I want to pour it out. We need to go back and look for a section of thankfulness. That's why I asked Ray. Now, listen, I like, this is my personal preference, I like old tent revivals, like hot and sweaty in the middle of nowhere, a banjo player and a couple people just getting down. Don't look at me like that, honey. I know. We watch it on YouTube. We have a fight in our house. She likes to watch how to kill me in my sleep and bury my body. To be honest, to be truthful, we don't have cable, so like it's limited on what we get, but I think the free YouTube will give you all that you ever need in life. I'm really at that point. Like, my YouTube feed is phenomenal, but when I walk away, like, she's flipping it back into Unsolved Mysteries, and if I ever come up missing, don't worry, just call Sydney and my wife, because they talk about it all the time. But the issue, hang on, I'm in the weeds. The reason I asked Ray to sing that, yeah, I know, it's coming. There's a runway right there. We're going to land it. I still got a bucket right here. I still got a bucket. We got some illustration coming. So I like tent revival stuff. I like getting into your feels kind of stuff. I like self-reflection, because the problem is I tell you this all the time. I get to the end of the day, and I ask myself in the mirror before I go to bed, what did you do for the Lord today? And unfortunately, you guys may not be anything like me, so the Lord may be just talking to me this morning, but I get to the end of the day often, and he says, not enough. Or you tell me, what did you do in my name today? Where did you pour out my spirit? And it tends to be hurtful sometimes. So here we go. We are at this revival, and I've heard stuff often. I have to read you a song. I've sung this since I started playing music 12, 13 years ago, whatever it was. Come thou fount of every blessing. Y'all ever hear that? I'm so glad I gave her that pause there, because I almost said that, but I thought it was implied. And no, does anybody else know the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? Please raise your hand so I don't feel like I am in a... Okay, you don't have to do it forcefully, but here's the problem. All of the years that I would sing that, I would skip verse 2. Verse 1 just says, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. All is good. That's part everybody knows. Verse 3 starts, Oh to grace, how great a debtor, and that's where we went. I skipped verse 2. Here's why I skipped verse 2, because my Old Testament was terrible. My Old Testament was terrible, and it's been twice now in the past year that we've got into the Old Testament to where I can fully know now what verse 2. Verse 2 says, here I raise mine Ebenezer. How weird of a word is that? Kids, where are you at? Now, why are they so quiet today? Noah, I knew you'd be the first one. The word Ebenezer, does that make you almost want to snicker? I agree. We don't use that word very often, right? But I never knew what it meant. And guess what I didn't have? I didn't have the wherewithal when that song would come up. I just skipped that verse. Except we end up in a couple of different revival settings, and we talk about the book of Samuel, and we talk about Samuel and the word Ebenezer. Y'all know that story at all? So vivid. There was a yes down here. I like it here. You want this microphone? No, I'm just kidding. It was so vivid. The last guy preached a little bit about it on a Monday night 2 weeks ago, and Samuel gets to the point in the Old Testament where they just had a victory over the Philistines, and he stopped at a spot, and he said, here I raise my Ebenezer. Well, an Ebenezer, while it's a goofy word in 2023 that we really don't use, Samuel used it. That word means a stone to mark this place. And not only is it a stone, again, let's go backwards a minute. I'm a visual kind of guy, right? So I'm seeing this play out as I'm reading this, as this guy is preaching it, and my mind is moderately blown. I maybe have heard it a time or two, but it's never really kicked in gear. And Samuel says, here is the work, and this stone is to represent the work of the Lord that has brought me to this far. Give me 1 Samuel 7:12. Do we do that one? All right, it says, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. Now, if you're really going back, I just like this word, because if we're going to use a word like Ebenezer, let's just continue with the King James word and let's call it hitherto, right? So if you were old and you read the King James back in the day, the word is hitherto. This says till now. But I want you to visually think for a minute, Samuel stopping after the Lord helped him there, and he's building a stone. And the cool part is he doesn't just put the stone over here to the side. Like, so this is a road. I'm thinking this is a road. Y'all with me? This is the road. Samuel is on it. They just finished this, and he's like, I'm going to mount a stone that will remind people of what went down here. He doesn't mount it to the side. You read through the entire story. He mounts it right in the middle of the road. Could you imagine? Now, thankfully, I can't carry a stone because I think it would have to be really big, but it doesn't really tell us how big it was. But visually, think about it for a minute. He puts a stone in the middle of the road that people have to go around, that they will see forever and a day, and they're not going to move it. Because if it's a little stone, somebody's going to say, over, out of the way. It's a big stone. They come to it, they have to read it, they have to go around it. Well, the problem is as I read through that, I'm like, man, that is a great visual. And as I pray through this week, I say, Lord, how do we teach thankfulness? And if I think of the Ebenezer stone, I think of those times in our life that God has got us. Now, it says hitherto or till now, the Lord has helped us. So think, the stone's still here. Sorry, that's why I keep coming here. So you have to walk around it when you leave. But this big stone is here for people. And he says, up until now, hitherto, till now, the Lord has helped us. Well, the inference in that is there is no reason then to think for all of the rest of time, if you read the whole passage, it says till it makes it home, or you read through the story, there's nothing about that that says there is nothing that's going to stop him from still helping until I get to the end of my time. Does that make sense? And the cool part is the entire group, let's just say they were going this way because I'm a little too lazy to turn around now, and they put this stone up, they can always turn around and look back at that stone. And my opinion is, in our lives, we should have Ebenezer stones. For those of y'all in the back, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go over here. In our lives, we should be able to turn around and look back at Ebenezer stones. We might not be one of those churches that talks about it much, but today we're going to be. Today we're going to identify the things in our past. We talk about the rearview mirror is small and the windshield's big. Why? Because we want to be looking forward. Great. Today we're looking backwards. Straight up. Straight, we're looking back. I have never been so clear in my life about the Lord telling me what we are going to talk about today, and it's got nothing to do with me. He wants us to look backwards, because the problem is, if we look backwards at what he has done in reference to that Ebenezer stone, we see who brought us to this point. Hang on, that's good. I'm going to go again. If we turn around and see those Ebenezer stones, we get to see who has brought us to this point. Amen. Thank you. See, I knew when Phil Schaefer was on shift today and Chris Auber over here was also out, then I'm going to have to beg for a little amen. But, so, we as a leadership team have been talking and talking about, you know, we need to make sure that we are embodying some time that we pray, that it's not awkward. There is a stigma. We're going to do something different here in the end. Just come play. Yeah, let's just do that. I'm going to lay on that. I'm going to lay on that. I got a bucket right here. These kids are amazing. Somebody say amen for that. So we may not be a church that ever really talks about looking backwards, but today I would like you to be. I would like you to think of what you're going through right now, and I would like you just to stop for a minute and don't care who's around you. Close your eyes for a second and look backwards. Look backwards on your journey that got you to where you stand today, and that should show you where you are going to leave your Ebenezer stone today. And you know that up until now, hitherto, till now, whatever translation you are reading, it all says that up to this point, I am here and I am breathing. I may not be in the best health, but today, God has the only one that got me to here. And there is nothing about when you turn around and look forward that should give you the inclination that he is leaving you. Nothing in his word says he will change. Nothing in his word says that he's only with you until you turn 37. You leave those stones in the ground. That way it's for you. Because oftentimes as we start to heap up trash on our well, wow, those two roads just came together. As you start to heap up trash on your well, how do you get that trash off? You start to get thankful about what you've got. And the more you can think about what the Lord has done for you hitherto, till now, whatever it may be, the easier it is to pour out and tell people. Because if it is fresh in your mind and exciting, you will tell people. Gratitude, which is why we say gratitude, it is the showing of thankfulness to the Lord. No one in here can pick up an Ebenezer stone of somebody else's. Nobody in here can look at an Ebenezer stone and say, the Lord didn't bring us to there. I fought that battle on my own. You can't do it. Amen? So this morning, I asked them to sing a longer song. Wow. I asked them to sing a longer song that's called I Have Been Blessed. Sorry, Bert. I don't want you to worry about the words. The words are phenomenal, right? We are a blessed society. We have the things that we need. Things may not be perfect this week. I may not be my ideal weight, but my goodness, the Lord has brought me this far. Amen? But I still ask him to fill me up every week. We have a stigma sometimes that if somebody makes their way to the altar, that they've got to be going for salvation. And I'm going on a limb right now, and I want to break that stigma. I believe that we should feel so inclined to be able to pray for a minute, 27 seconds, 14 minutes, it doesn't matter, that we should be able to step out in this aisle in faith and do that. So here's what I brought. And this is not a great representation, but it's, listen, I came up out of the bed, and it's not because my dog is stupid, because he is, but at 5:40 a.m., I sat up out of my bed, and I have never, me and the Lord argue all the time, because I love my way, and he likes his, but at 5:40 this morning, I sat up in the bed with a visual of me and a shovel up on that gravel lot up on the hill, filling a bucket up with gravel rocks. So I did. It's just 57 stone, okay? It is just a representative. Here's what I would like. It's not mandatory. You're not gonna hurt my feelings if you feel too uncomfortable. This song goes on for 5 or 6 minutes. I would like everyone to take a moment to come pray. Pick you a stone. Today it's just gonna be a reference to an Ebenezer stone. I don't care if you leave it on this altar, you put it in your pocket and you take it with you to think about, build a big stone at your house. That doesn't matter. I would like everybody to take a moment to come pray and be thankful for something with their stone and just leave it. Go sit back down. I would love to, yeah, you can go first, Trevor. I thought that's what you were coming for. Yeah, come on. I want the stigma of when you see somebody headed to pray for it not to be weird, right? It can be for anything. It can't be a strange spot in your life.
Among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love. If the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain. Been blessed. Warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time, so I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been father and mother who nurtured and raised, sisters and brothers and memories. pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal, the blood that still saves. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Thoughts of you and me, no way I could count them, there's not enough time, so I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so greatest on earth. The flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in a harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, but some gave their all for me to be. Shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wing. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
It's our Lord, I pray two things this morning as we look at this altar up here. We look at the words that you have given us in your book. We take none of them out of context, Lord. I just pray that if we leave with nothing else, that we leave to understand we are to pour out your spirit, says your word, all week long. We are to get back with your people in your word and fill it back up. Lord, if there's anything going on our own personal well that we find out that we are unable to pour out your spirit on others, Lord, I pray this morning, I am praying for myself just as anyone else. Lord, I pray that you help us evict that. Lord, and the only way that I know to do that is to turn around and look at where my life has been and know that on this day in September in 2023, if I turn around and look at how I got to where I'm at, it wasn't me. Lord, and I pray for those that are in here that can also look back and see that where they are at today had nothing to do with them. Lord, it's but God. Lord, and I pray that these Ebenezer stones are just a reflection of our own life. Lord, I pray that we spend time understanding why you gave things to us in the Bible. Lord, I pray that we use these Ebenezer stones as things that we start placing as time goes on. We see something miraculous that happens in our life. We think of that and we put a monument in our mind, in our yard, wherever. That way we can have conversation about who brought you to this point. Lord, I pray if anybody this morning doesn't understand any of that, that they come to know you in a saving way that will make them powerful in the community. Lord, it's a hurtful thing for me personally when I go to a revival and you come back to me and say, Justin, revival has to start with you. It has to, you can't expect fire to go on around you if you are not on fire yourself. It's a hard thing to hear, Lord, but that's what I want. That's what I pray for. That's what I hope everybody prays for. We do a great job in this community, communing with other churches, spending time in your word. Lord, I just pray that you keep that flame going on. And for all of that, I pray and I am thankful for you and everything that you've done and are continually doing in our lives. It's in your name I pray, amen. All right, I think Luke would say, go get them. This is for the adults, not the kids. I left that bucket back there if you, or you can come take one of these. You could take a rock, put it in your pocket, leave it in the cup holder of your truck, car, Saturn, whatever you've got, whatever you want to do. Amen.